We continue our learning. We're in Sanhedrin Paraches Mishnah Zayin. After we learned in the previous Mishnah that the owner of the home or anyone else is able to kill the Baba Machteres, the one who's tunneling in to steal. So our Mishnah is going to list as well cases where you're able to take someone's life because you want to protect someone either from embarrassment or from actually being killed. The Elu Hain Shematzilin Osam Benafshan. These are the people who were able to save Matzilin, able to save them from doing the Anavera Binafshan by taking their life. So Harodev Achar Chaver Lahargo. So for example, this is a classic example of Rodev. Someone's running after his friend, Reuven's running after Shimon to kill him. And after there was a warning, you're not allowed to do this, Reuven, if you're killing him, Chayev Misa, and he does it and he continues to run after him, then you're permitted to kill Reuven. And as the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Beis Pashas Kiseitzei, Ki kasher yakum ish al re'ehu uritzacho nefesh, just like one who rises up against his friend and murders him, kein hadavar hazeh, so too is this. Now we have to understand what's happening in the Chumash there. There the Torah is speaking about the anara ha'ma'orasa. He is a married young woman between 12 and 12 and a half who's being chased by a man potentially is going to be raped by him. So the Torah there says, you know what this is like? This is like Ritzicha. The man who's running after this anara ha'ma'orasa to rape her, that's no different than someone running after someone to kill them. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Ki kasher yakum ish al re'ehu urtzacho nefesh, kein hadavar hazeh. What's hadavar hazeh? That's the Naram HaRasa case of Rodev. And the pasuk seems to link the two. So what is it that we learn from Rotzeach? It teaches us the following, that there's a link, a hekesh, between a comparison between the Rotzeach and an Naram HaRasa. Just like when it comes to Naram HaRasa, the halach is nitan lahatzila benafsho, you're able to save her by killing the potential rapist, as we'll explain a little bit later. So too, the Rotzeach as well, you're able to save his life by killing the Rodev. So it's interesting. The source, one would have thought it's the opposite. Obviously you're able to save someone's life. He's about to be killed by the Rodef, one who's running after him to kill him. So too, you can even do that when it comes to a case of rape. It's actually the opposite. The case of rape is what the Torah says, you're able to kill the person. How do I know? Because the pasuk says, we'll see a little bit later, it says, Ein Moshiala. There's no one around. They're out in the field somewhere, and potentially she's going to be violated by this man. Ein Moshiala, there's no one to save her. That implies, Hayesh Moshe, if there's someone who can save her, they're able to save her any way they need to, even by killing that man. And since this pasuk links rape to murder, so this saving would have tried to apply to murder. They're able to kill the Rodef as well. So that's case number one. Harodef achar chaver lahargo is nitan latzil binafsho. Achar hazachur. This is true if someone's a man's running after another man to rape him as well. So this as well is a case of matzilin oso benafsho. How do I know that? Because in the pasuk regarding the nara ha'ma'orasa, who we say who is being chased, who we say you're able to kill the man who's running after her, it says v'la na'ara lo sase davar. If you look in Pashas Kiseis, you'll notice that na'ara is written without a hey. So it can be read, if you don't have vowels, it can be read as na'ar. So why is it missing the hey? So it's coming to teach us, this is our tradition, that the same thing would be true for a na'ar, where someone's running after, a male is running after a male to rape him. That would be the same thing. You're able to save the potential victim by killing the rodef. And of course, as we mentioned as well, va'achar hanara ma'orasa. That, as the Chumash says, Pasuk says in Pashas Kiseitzei, ki basadeh mitzah, he found her in the field, as opposed to the ear, as opposed to the city, the Torah says, we assume people are around if she cries out. But here, tzaka na'ara ha-ma'orasa ve'ein moshiala, the Pasuk says, the Gemara quotes, there's no one there, so if there's a moshia, someone is able to save her, so whatever you need to do to save her, you're able to do so. But the Torah only speaks about Naara Ma'orasa, okay, so she's a married woman, and we understand you're able to kill a potential rapist. What if it's something, let's say, other types of arayos, whole list of arayos in Parshas Achrimus, Parshas Kedoshim. What about those type of arayos? Let's say someone's running after this woman and she's an erva to him. Are you able to kill him? So the Gemara says yes, because the Pasuk says, Ein la Na'ara, Chet Maves. that Na'ara has no chet maves, sin, death. The Gemara says, you know what chet comes to include? All chayve krisos, all cases where there are arayas, where you'd be chayve kares if they live together, you're able to save the potential victim from the rapist. And the word maves teaches us misos based in anyone where that erva would be a misas based in if it were violated. So then you're also able to save the victim by killing the rodef. Aval ha-rodef achar behema, but the Mishnah continues. Let's say someone's running after an animal for bestiality. V'hamachalas ha-shabbos. So you see someone who's about to do melech ha-shabbos. Vovet avadazara, a person who's about to worship idols. So we say, well, these are very serious. Chayv skila. So obviously these are up there with the rest of the list. So the answer is no. Ein matzilin asob ben afton. You can't save them from the avera by killing them in advance. This is no. You have to warn them and assume they say they're going to do it anyway. And then you bring them to Beis Din, and Beis Din is one who's going to kill them. You cannot take their life on your own. What's the difference between the first three cases and these? That is because when it comes to, let's say, the case of erva, there's a kalon and pagam, there's embarrassment, there's a defect, potential defect, which is going to harm her in the future for the nirdaf, and the same thing. And when it comes to obviously rotzach, you're going to take someone's life, so that can't be fixed. But when it comes to these, Chil Shabbos is not affecting anybody else. The behema, we're not interested. We don't care in terms of embarrassment of the behema. And Oved Avodah the same thing. Even though it's very, very severe, nonetheless, it's not affecting another person. Now we get in the ninth perek, Ve'elu Heinan Esrafim. So we spoke about Skila in the past. Now we're going to talk about Srefa. Who are those who are violating Averes for which you chayiv Srefa? So Mishnah says the general category is Habal Isha Uvita, someone who has relations with a woman and her daughter. So what does that mean? I mean, he's married to one of those women, and then he has bia with the other one. So let's say, for example, let's say someone's married to this woman, and he now has relations with his mother-in-law. So that's Isha Uvita. Isha is the mother-in-law, and Bita is the one who he's married to. So to have relations with someone where it's Isha Uvita, you're married to one of them. You're either married to the daughter, you have relations with the mother. You're married to the mother, you have relations with the daughter. So that is including Isha Uvita. And the same thing would be true. A person has relations with the daughter of his wife. Doesn't have to be his own daughter. Could be his own daughter. But even if it's not, even if it's a stepdaughter. What does the Torah say in Parshas Acharemos? Ervas Isha Uvita Lo Sigale. So that's exactly what it says. That you cannot reveal the erva of Isha Uvita, a woman and her daughter. Or V'ish A'ach Sher Yikach Es Isha V'es Imah Zimahi. So there you have actually the punishment of Srefa written in the Chumash itself, where it says a man who is married to one woman, but then he has relations with the mother. So that is considered, that's Yechayv Srefa for that. And then the Mishnah says, who else is on this list for Srefa? Uvas Kohen Shezinsa. Bas Kohen Shezinsa means where you have a Bas Kohen, she is an Asua, she's not an Arusa. If she's an Arusa, so she's going to be Chayv Skila. If she's an Asua, already had Chuppah and has an affair, so then she's going to be Chayv Srefa. The Pasuk says, Uvas Ish Kohen Kisechel Liznos, Esavio Himechaleles, Ba'esh Tisarev, and Parsha Samur. So there it is, Ba'esh Tisarev. What about the man? So the Bas Kohen, who's Mizana, who's an Asua, who's a married woman, already had Chuppah, she's Chayiv Srefa. But the man is Chayiv Chenek. Yesh Bichlal, the Mishnah says, Isha Ubita, the following. So the Mishnah's coming to tell us is that we said Isha Ubita is the general category, a mother and a daughter. You have relations, you're married to one, have a relation with the other, so then you're going to be Chayiv Srefa. There are many. Although that's a general category, there are many avero. There are many cases that are included within that. In fact, the Mishnah says there are 9 cases of potential women for which you'd be chayv Srefa. How's that? So, for example, Bito, a man who has relations with his daughter, even if the mother of this, obviously his daughter, so he's married to this woman, and the daughter obviously is Isha because the daughter of his wife, so that goes without saying. But this would be true even if the mother of his daughter is not his wife, but it's his, what we call anusaso, meaning you have a man who raped a woman, and she got pregnant, and she had a daughter. So although that woman is not his wife, that daughter, nonetheless, if you have relations with the daughter, that there's going to be chiyuv sreifa, because that is also an example of isha ubita. Even though the woman, the mother, is not really your wife, nonetheless, we assume that bito me'anus aso is included, and the rest as well. Let's, for example, Mishnah says uvas bito, that a person who has relations with the daughter of his daughter, or uvas beno, the daughter of his son. So this is the granddaughters, and these could be as well people who were born from a child that was born out of wedlock as well. You have an example of also because of rape. So, for example, he has relations with his granddaughter, who is the daughter of a girl who was born from a woman who he raped. Or he has relations with his granddaughter who's born from his son, from a child, a male, who was born to a woman that he raped. So that's also an example. So it's not only the daughter, the mother and the daughter, but even the granddaughter is included in this isha ubita chiyuv of strefa. Ubas ishto, and this already we kind of mentioned, obviously the daughter of his wife, and that would be true even if it's stepdaughter, it doesn't have to be his own daughter. The daughter is married to a woman, and she has a daughter from another marriage. So that's also, if he has relations with that daughter, his chayv to the chayv strefa. Or ubas bita, once again, this would be his stepdaughter's daughter, uvas bina, or the daughter of his stepson, that's also the grandchildren, even though it's from another marriage, that's also included. What else? Chamoso. That's obvious. That's what we know from before. It's mother-in-law. The aim chamoso included is the next generation above as well. His mother-in-law's mother. The aim chamiv. Or let's say the mother of his father-in-law. All of these are cases of isha ubita, and therefore all together you have nine of these arayos, chiyuvei sreifa, and of course the tenth would be the bas kohen. Then the Mishnah says that's Sreifa. Who gets Saif? Who gets beheaded? That what we call Hereg or Saif. Number one, Harotzeach. One who murders someone is Chayav Saif, is Chayav Hereg. Where do I see that? So the Pasuk says in Shmos Chaf Aleph, Makei Ish Vameis Mos You Must. Person who hits a person and he dies, Mos You Must. Mos You Must doesn't tell me anything. But when it comes to someone who hits an Eved Kanani, and he dies, it says Nakomi Narkeim. Nakomi Narkeim. So that's a person who is killed. And there he uses the language of vengeance of Nakomi Narkeim. And I know Nakomi Narkeim is a reference to Saif, is a reference to Herig, to beheading, because the Pasuk in Vayikra Chavav says Vehevesi Aleichem Cherev Nokemes Nikam Bris. So there's a relationship between, a link between Nikama, Nokemes, Nakomi Nakem, and Cherev. And killing an Eved Kanani, it says, Ya Nakomi Nakem. So I connect that now to killing a person, even not an Eved Kanani, that you're going to get Hereg because Cherev Nokemes Nikam Bris. So that's number one, Arotzech is on the Hereg list. Vanchi Yerani Dachas, we mentioned in the past, the members of the city, where most of the city worshipped Avodah Zarah, so we burn all the belongings in the city, and the people in the city, because it's a whole city, if it's an individual who worships Avodah Zarah, it's Chayv Skila. But if you have a whole city that does so, it says, Hakei Sakeh Es Yoshevei Ho'ir Ha'i Lefi Charef. So you have to smite this to the city that is supposed to be beheaded to get Cheref. Cheref, of course, is Herek. Rotzeach Shehika. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss what's considered Ritzicha, what's considered murder in Halacha. Rotzeach Shehika Esrei Ehu Ba'Even O'Babar Barzel, person who hits his friend and ends up killing him with using a rock, or let's say Barzel iron. Where does this discuss? Parshas Maaseh. This is in the context of Yer Miklat. V'im b'chli Barzel he kahu vayamos. That's the pasuk. He hits him with a kli Barzel, a utensil made out of iron. V'im be'even yad asher yamos b'hi kahu vayamos. Or he hit him with a rock. O b'chli eitz yad, or with a piece of wood. Asher yamos b'hi kahu vayamos. Rotzeachu, he's a murderer in all these cases, no matter what implement he uses, mosu masa rotzeach. So interestingly, the Gemara takes note of the fact that when it comes to a piece of wood, it calls it eitz yad. When it comes to a rock, it calls it even yad. When it comes to barzel iron, it doesn't say yad at all. So yad assumes that there's a handle. You're holding on to something with a handle, and it has a rock on top. And so the handle, so the blade is a rock, and you're holding on to a piece of wood, and the blade is a piece of wood. But the Gemara asks, "Mipnei malo nemra yad b'barzel?" When it comes to barzel, it's saying yad. Sounds like I'm using something very small that may not even have a handle. Shehab barzel may miss b'cholshu, says the Gemara. I'll tell you why. Because iron can kill even with a little bit. You don't need a handle, and then you whack someone, so that's going to kill them because of the force. Even if it doesn't have a handle, very small, a kolshu, barzel can kill. And the Brisa there says, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi said, it's revealed and known in front of Hashem, the one who created the world, that iron can kill even a little bit. That's why the Torah didn't give a minimum amount. So anyone who kills someone using Evan or Barzel, maybe Evan may need a shear and wood may need a shear, a Barzel does not. Or let's say v'kavash alav l'soch hamayim l'soch ha'ur. Let's say you held a person down in the water or in fire. So the person was there already, but you kind of held his head down and he couldn't get out. V'niyachol alos misham. And even if you don't use your hands, you somehow close the area off so he is unable to come out. So, and certainly if you threw him into the water or the fire and he couldn't get out, he left him there. V'mes, and he dies chayav. You're going to be chayv hereg, chayv saif. You are considered a rotzeach. That is considered real rotzicha. But as opposed to dichafo l'soch hamayim l'soch ha'ur v'yachol as misham, you pushed him into the water or into the fire, but he's able to come out on his own, and he doesn't. V'mes, and he dies. Then pater. You're not a tzaddik, but you putter for misas based, and even though you pushed him in, since he has the potential to come out. Shisa boas hakelev, let's say someone incited a dog towards his friend and he bit him and it died. And the person died. Or shisa boas hanachash, or incited a snake, let's say, to bite a person. Halach is putter. Because a mishase is one who incites something, an animal, creature, towards someone, is going to be exempt. This is called grumma. It's only indirect. It's causative in nature, and therefore is not chayiv misa, only if you kill someone with your hands. Hishich boas hanachash. But let's say now you didn't just incite the snake to try to bite someone or a dog, but you took a snake, you brought it very close to someone's body until the point where now the snake took a bite out of it, his flesh, and it killed him. So Rabbi Yehuda mechayif, he says that's considered like you killed him with your hands. V'achacham, it's like you had a weapon in your hand. V'achacham in potter. V'achacham says, I know you're exempt here as well. You can see this is considered grumma indirect. What's the basis of the machlokas? So the Gemara says that it's based on where the venom of the snake is located. According to Rabbi Yehuda, eres nachash bein shinav hu omed. The poison, the venom of the snake, is already between its teeth. And therefore, when you take a snake in your hand and you bring the snake towards a person, towards a person's flesh, it's as if you're sticking a knife into him because the venom is already there and it's going to kill him. It's as if you're taking a knife and sticking it into his stomach. But according to the Chachamim, Eres Nachash is not Bein Shinov, but Mei Atzmo Hu Meki. He brings it up on his own. That's not already between his teeth. So therefore, there's a step behind. It's a somewhat indirect. It's not like killing him biyadayim. You're a grumma. You're only causative in nature, and therefore you're going to be patur. That's Gemara in Sanhedrin discussed on Daf Ayin Ches. Hamakas chaveru bein ba'evin bein ba'egrof. Person who hits his friend, whether he uses a stone or uses his fist. That's discussed in Shmos Chafalf. V'chi pasur sha mishpatim. V'chi rivun anoshim. V'ka ish esrei be'evin ove'egrof. There it says, v'lo yamus v'nafal mishkaf. So it speaks about potentially killing someone through using your fist or a stone. V'amadu l'misa. And what happened? You see, a person is really, in very bad shape. And assessed him, they brought in the doctors, and they said, you know, this person is going to die from this blow. But then he got a little bit better, looked like he was getting a little better, to the point where, ulachar mikan hichbid vames. But after that, where it looked like, so maybe he's going to live, they assessed maybe he will live, and now it got worse, literally heavier, and now he dies, chayav. The person who hit him is chayav because, like any makeh adam v'meis, because since originally they assessed him that he was going to die, the fact that he got a little bit better is not reason to exempt the murderer. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Potter, he disagrees, Sheraglayim Ledavar. Literally, there are legs to the matter, which means there's a likelihood that the reason he died is not because of the blow, because he was getting a little bit better. And therefore, he is going to be Potter. Some say that this phrase, Raglayim Ledavar, is actually going to explain the Tanakhama. Why is it that you're Chayiv Misa, even though he got a little bit better in between, is because Raglayim Ledavar. The likelihood is, although he got a little bit better, the reason eventually died because of the original blow.